feet on that.
Okay, form established. Staff present is Jay Gilchrist and Ashley Williams. So shall we say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everybody read the minutes from the last meeting?
Can we make a note that Tom Waller and Wayne Barth aren't present?
Yeah.
And that additional staff is present, Reed Campbell and Johnny Bales.
Thank you.
Everybody read the minutes?
Yes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I second.
Motion approved and seconded. Motion carried to approve minutes from last month's meeting, 2 months ago meeting. Well, this, okay, I see I've got January, okay, March 13th meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, the next agenda item is a discussion on cleanup week.
Yes, so the dates this year that have been tentatively picked out are June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Last year, we did a city cleanup day. We partnered with China and Lapine. We kind of headed it up last year with that being a big partner with it. We did it for a week last year. And we decided the week's a little too long to keep those dumpsters out in the field. They accumulate stuff that they probably shouldn't be accumulating once you do it that long. And for an organizational effort, it's hard to keep it your tabs on stuff for a week. We anticipate doing cleanup day again. And the council has suggested that the Public Works Committee kind of head up all the decision-making on how we want it to look this year. So in terms of how many dumpsters we want, location, and stuff of that nature. So here we are. We're deciding on the cleanup day.
We had last year, didn't they have two way far out somewhere?
We had four dumpsters last year. We had one up at the Wikia Park, right, we shared. We had one at City Hall. We had one on Betty Drive in Huntington Meadows.
That's good.
And then we have one on Mintz.
That's
at the
good.
Very end of Mintz Industrial Park. So the ones that saw the most activity were the one up near Kegel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all a lot of activity. And City Hall and Huntington Meadows saw all activity. The one in Mintz didn't see very much activity. So my suggestion this year, since it's a 3-day event, that we do a minimum of three, and that we do similar locations as last year. If possible, if we do four, we could do one at Kegel again up there at Wikia, would be a good spot. We do one at City Hall again. We do one at St. Vincent de Paul's, maybe would allow us to put one on site there. And, or we do one in Huntington Meadows again. I don't know what you guys would like to see. They are $165 for the container. So basically they're waiving the rental fee and just charging us for the hauling fee, wilderness garbage.
Oh, nice.
That's just the cost of their guys dropping it, picking it up, and taking it to the transfer station. And it would be $50 a ton for disposal, based on what the contents are.
I would like to see one over on the other side of the highway.
Okay.
So if you have one here, one in St. Vincent de Paul, and one at Kegel, I mean, you've kind of taken care of the area. I wonder if people didn't know where Mintz was.
I think it was just a little out, kind of not close.
How about, I mean, where I live over there, they need to get rid of a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
So where could we put it? I mean, would ShopSmart let us put one, or that doctor's office let us put one over there?
Maybe.
Kind of an eyesore.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Weekend.
They would drop it off on a Thursday and pick it up on a Monday.
Kathy?
Was there, when you said it got a lot of use up toward the Kegel end, I mean, I can imagine. But
yeah.
The question would be, for me, knowing the people that live around there in that area, what was it a lot? Was there personal garbage being dumped in there? Because we
yeah.
have people who don't have wilderness, they don't pay for garbage.
Sure.
Right.
So we saw a lot of that.
Well, so I wonder, is that a good place to have it? Or should we do it somewhere else? Make them work for it if we're going to go dump it somewhere.
Right.
Sorry, but that's how I feel.
We make it known that we're doing a cleanup day. We post the locations of them.
Sure, sure.
You know?
We have the nearby location.
One's at St. Vincent de Paul, one's at City Hall, and one's on this side of the highway. You make it known exactly where they are. You have a list of what you can and can't put in them. And you have them at these more higher profile places. People are less conducive. They shouldn't be in there. Especially like at City Hall and St. Vincent de Paul. That's a pretty, you know, seen place.
Right.
We saw a lot of stuff going in the one up at the Kegel.
I'm sure.
You know, maybe it was, I kind of had the thought that maybe a lot of people from off of Day Road were coming and bringing garbage too, because they're driving by it when they're coming home from work, and they're like, oh, a dumpster, all right. I mean, it's, hindsight, it was a good thing because we were getting rid of garbage and refuse, but was it just for the city residents at that point? Maybe not. But we support the greater community anyways, so.
So they'll be in all the same places they were last year?
We can put them wherever we want.
Because I'm wondering if, you know, people just see that it's the dump day and they don't register and read the rest of it, then they go there, and if there's not one where there was one before, they're going to go, what's up with that?
Right.
And how do we advertise it?
We put out flyers at all the local spots. We'll put it in the Wise Buys probably. Mm-hmm. Stuff like
website.
That. Website. Absolutely. We could even go as far as putting a little note in the billing if we wanted to at the end of May.
What's today?
The 8th?
Yeah, but I need to know if you want to do that today.
Okay, well, sounds like you've got it covered. That's great.
So three or four dumpsters? Four, like last time?
I think so.
And where at?
Didn't the one at the transfer station, up there, I heard you should get it filled the fastest.
They got several times.
Yeah,
yep.
Several times.
Oh, so because it's 3 days, and it was a week last year.
Oh, yeah, the other ones didn't get as much as that. That one just, my God, it just got filled up within hours.
Right.
Well, I think probably Jake is right. People are bringing up down from other areas. Do we need to put two there?
From that area.
And you got to remember that Wilderness doesn't work on the weekend, so if it fills up over the weekend, it fills up.
Yeah.
They won't get filled till Monday.
I kind of like that idea about putting two at Kegel if we're going to put them at Kegel, the way it filled up last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be a good, idea. Because they can get, well, they'll drop it off Thursday night. Would anybody check it Friday to see if it's full and get?
Well, yeah, we check it on Friday.
Yeah.
We can call them if it got full.
Yeah. Yeah. I think two would be a good idea. Because then you're going to have Saturday and Sunday.
Right, but you're going to have a lot of volunteer staff out doing stuff.
Yeah. I think you're right. Two of that's fine.
So I got four all together, one at City Hall, one at St. Vincent de Paul, two at the Kegel intersection. Do we want a fifth one on the other side of the highway?
How did that work? Well, you didn't see anything at Midway, but Betty was full, wasn't it?
I think it got decent. You guys remember?
Yeah, a fair amount.
My problem with that one was there was a lot of construction material going in it from some of those contractors.
Well, there's going to be even more. Well, you could drop that then if that wasn't a heavy-duty one.
I mean, I think it filled up okay. But definitely, the four, it was on the lower end of the group.
See, you wouldn't take the sod and everything I had.
Right.
Nobody will take that.
No.
Put one at Booster.
We could put one on our public works site there. In the middle of town, on Eagle and William Boss.
So it's $165 for each one you set.
And they want to know ahead of time if we're going to reserve, so they keep them available by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might work better. You can get some of those people out of Wheeler Ranch, and it wouldn't be too far for Huntington to go.
So we're up to five now.
Five.
Will you clarify for me what the intent is by having those in the locations they are for the cleanup?
Just to keep it spread around town to kind of help.
But I mean, is the point, the idea being that there would be trash, if you see trash along the road, pick it up, throw it there, and put it in the dumpsters, bags of whatever.
People are going to go around, ideally, and pick streets, those cleanup organizations.
Okay.
Fill up bags and then they're going to take it with the dumpsters. And then people who have stuff they need to clean up around their place can use it for that too. Clean up their own properties.
That's okay. That's kind of, the, I think I know what you're asking. A lot of it is we want, if you have a lot of trash in your yard, sure, this is your opportunity to get rid of it and avoid the dump fees. And we intend for that to happen.
Okay. I'm just very concerned. I know our neighborhood. I mean, people do not go to, we have very few trash cans that people are using.
Yeah, they put
and I can see they store it and then come with pickups and go haul it off. Whether they go to the dump or not, I have no clue, but I'm concerned about having two and giving them more opportunity to do the same. That's sure. My thought.
But it is within the city limits and it is cleaning up some of the property, so.
Yeah, the intent, I understand. The intent is good.
Yeah.
Does it get abused? Absolutely. But everything like that's going to get abused. There's no way around it.
So we turn blind eyes to those kind of things.
It's either that or put somebody at each dumpster to make sure they only put the proper stuff in there. And we can't afford that.
Well, that would be a confrontational issue. You really wouldn't want to have somebody there. You have to put up with being confrontational.
You're always going to have somebody trying to put stuff in there that shouldn't be put in there. Always. If there's nobody around, they're going to dump it.
So in agreement, we will have five of them in agreement of the locations.
What if Mulderness says we can't accommodate five, but we can do four? We want to just do one at the Kegel and keep the rest around? Because they're giving us a pretty good deal on the rental breaks and stuff. I'm just putting it out there. If they say, well, five, I don't know if we can handle, you know, giving you five, because it is busy construction season too right now.
Mm.
So if we need to eliminate one, then
if we had to, I'm just saying they might say, but we can't accommodate five that time of year. We could do four.
But one.
No less than
two.
Four.
Just one. Yeah.
Yeah. No less than four, though.
Okay.
Okay. Any further discussion on that issue?
That's what I can think of.
All right, then we don't need a motion on this. It's just
information. So, sorry.
Go ahead.
Like Linda was saying, we have an abandoned house down the street from us. Is that legit to go and the neighbors clean that up, put it in one of those dumpsters?
Well, it still has an owner. I don't think we can trespass.
They would allow you to. I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, that we could get a whole neighborhood in there.
Do you know the owner?
No, he's in California. There's a local property management company that's supposed to take care of that.
So, Edmund,
do we know which one?
I know, Christina does.
If you can find that out, Scott, I know all the property managers here in town because I used to do that. And so I would be more than happy. I'm very good friends with all of them.
Okay.
Find out who it is.
Okay.
Because we'd have to get permission, and I'm assuming that the ordinance person's already contacted them.
For code enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to be out alone if they have or not.
There's a lot of trash around on the property.
Yeah, it's beat up.
Yeah.
My main concern is to keep people out of there.
I think it'd be a win-win if you somehow could contact them.
I've got their address and everything. I thought it would be more effective if the code enforcement officer said, you know, you need to clean up your property. So I just gave him all that information with reasons why it should be done in accordance with that nice little flyer
right.
That you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that maybe they at least sent him a letter. But this is June that we're going to be doing this.
Yeah,
so we've
June.
Got time to get a hold of the owner because I've got his address and everything.
Yeah.
June.
But then we'd have to have permission to haul off all those personal items there. And it might be too dangerous because some of those are falling in.
Well, you just meant to the outside of the property on yours.
Yeah. I mean, it's private property. I don't, I would like to have a clean place next to me, but that's the least of my worries. It's mainly keeping people out of there. That's what we're trying to do.
Make it look like maybe it's not.
Call the sheriff whenever we see someone.
Was this a rental?
Apparently, if they had a property manager. Yeah, there used to have a lot of parties and stuff there, and it's been quiet for the last 2 years, so I don't think anybody's been living there.
Rory, can you think of anything else that this council wanted more direction on for the cleanup day, besides how many dumpsters and locations and stuff like that?
I think that was the gist of it.
Well, you know, I'll contact Shine on the Blind today or tomorrow and let them know what we're wanting to put them and how many and stuff, once I can talk to Wilderness.
Sure. Just any other ideas or suggestions or concerns that any of you might have?
On the Shine on La Pine, where are those yellow bags going with the ragweed in them? Do you know?
And that, I don't know where
the county picks them up.
I know, but I don't know where the drop site is.
It's been at Booster Site. That's where they've been from, at a Booster Site on Hinkle and William Foss.
Oh, at your place?
Yeah.
Can we continue to do that?
We should include that.
Yeah, not just weed location.
Yeah, that's an important piece of it.
We don't want those bags, those noxious weed bags in the dumpsters.
Are you going to have them here for people to pick up to put the noxious weeds? Because that cannot be put in the garbage.
No, it's got to be separate.
That's a good point.
Do we have any idea last year how many, you mentioned volunteer agencies or whatever, people, groups, how many volunteers there actually were? Any idea?
I don't.
For the ragweed?
So does anyone, well, no, I'm just going to clean up. I'm sorry, I'm back to that, I apologize. Because my question is this, we lived there, I didn't hear about it, okay? And I'm wondering, how did we get that information out?
Right.
That this was happening, and you know, and if you're going to volunteer, you know, head up your neighborhood, do something. I mean, how do we let people know that? Because I sure did not hear about it.
Sure. No, definitely more of an outreach would be better. Sure.
Well, we can put a flyer in the billing, and I can also ask Ben Mailing to do like a third mailer like we do for the open house to all city residents.
Well, that's a good idea. Put them in a water bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can insert them into the utility bills pretty easily. That helps, except for everybody in Kegel. But we tentatively have scheduled on May 30th, which is coming up quickly. An open house. We inserted those in the property mailers. We'd have to do a separate mailing, but I think we could pretty easily do that for Cagle and Glenwood regarding the cleanup day.
Sure.
We have all those addresses on file.
Sure, I'm sure you do.
Because we just sent out letters recently. Yeah, gotten already. So
great.
Yeah, I'd come at it out of that two-pronged approach to make sure we get all the residents involved. And then
that'll help.
Big time. And there was some concern. I don't remember who mentioned it exactly at the council meeting, but there's some concern about folks outside the city utilizing the dumpsters. So I think that if we strategically target our marketing and awareness to residents through the two pieces I just mentioned, we don't have to broadcast it as much on Facebook and the website. Not to say that folks outside the city aren't welcome, but the intent really is that, you know, we can't support the 10,000 people who live out there bringing all their stuff in. So find the balance.
Does the flyer specify that the dumpster and the cleanup is for city limits?
Well, I think it's billed as the city cleanup, but I guarantee every other person you talk, they don't know where the city starts or ends. We know that for sure. So, and if some people are cleaning up out in unincorporated Deschutes County, that's a good thing as well.
Sure.
I think if you just... We just couldn't support that. You wouldn't be talking about five dumpsters, you'd be talking about 50. So, being honest. So,
right, so not really doing the wise buys and putting it on social media, just keeping it to.
I'll do the mailings.
City residents. Totally.
That's the target.
Yeah.
So, do the flyers go like on the ACE bulletin board or?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Library, ACE.
Senior Center.
Yeah, most of those places. And then in regards to who all participated, I think it would be interesting to, and you know, it's kind of honor policy, but I think we should try to get people. We had a barbecue celebration at the end, I think, last year, so there should be some sort of sign-in sheet or something, you know. It would be interesting to know who all participated. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a barbecue this year?
I don't know. That's a good question. Do all of you think there should be a barbecue? And if so, should the city play any role in it? Or should that be a Shine on the Pine thing? Get you on that for a second.
That was a targeted question.
We'd have to donate some money for it if we want it.
I think we bought hot dogs and hamburgers last year or something like that. I think it was a Heritage Park, if I remember correctly.
So this is kind of like Ken used to have the mayor's annual cleanup thing?
Yeah, it's not called mayor's cleanup anymore.
Maybe. And is Dennis still involved with the Shine on La Pine, or is that B. Halter?
I think
Scott's still, he's still on the Shine on La Pine.
Involved, but not taking the lead.
Well, not mayor.
Yeah.
But he's still involved.
Yeah.
I get emailed from him about it.
Yeah, that there's a little, out on the record, there's a little bit of not confusion, but a little unsureness with staff as to, you know, how much of this is the city cleanup and we should play a role in that, and how much of it is this group of the Put the Shine on the Pine, which the city, of course, supports what they're trying
right.
to do. I think it's a little bit of both, and how clearly that line is drawn, I don't know how much that really matters, but I think the city should obviously be aware of what we're contributing and what portion they're filling in.
Well, the whole thing with the city is doing all the trash and everything, that kind of stuff. Shine on La Pine is not just weeds, basically. That's their biggest thing. And of course, like you said earlier, we can't commingle them. They have to be separated.
So we need to decide if we want to contact the Shine on La Pine people to see if they wanted to participate in some sort of a barbecue, like a hamburger thing, to help fund it? You think, did they do that last year, Corey?
I doubt that they would fund it. I think the city
would
need to take the lead on that. In terms of them, they might organize it.
Yeah.
Was there a good turnout
before? I remember maybe 30, 40. I could be wrong. I don't know if we need that. I think it might be a good conversation point for all of you to think about, you know, is that a worthwhile event that the city should contribute towards, whether it's a couple hundred dollars for hot dogs and hamburgers, or do we just not need that event? Is there value in that?
The problem that we would have is that we all met at 8, and we were doing highways and we were doing Huntington. We were tired by 10 o'clock. And we just kept doing our two blocks, and we did right down here. There's more cigarette butts on that street than you can believe. We all went home by 8:30 or 10, by 10:30, 11 o'clock. We didn't wait for the barbecue at noon.
Right.
So maybe if there's only 30 people showing up, I don't know.
So is that last year then?
No, this was a couple years ago that I participated.
I thought there was more than 2 years ago when I didn't seem like they had a big
for the barbecue?
For a big group at the barbecue.
But I'm sure I'm gonna guess that Shine on La Pine would be interested in doing a barbecue.
I think there's a meeting coming up. It might be this Thursday or next Thursday. I'll tell my wife to bring it up at the meeting.
Did you have something else to say, Scott?
Well, the one thing I think about the barbecue maybe is it could bring, if your goal is to bring people together for cleaning up the city and meeting people and working together, then I think barbecue is kind of a good idea, a reward or incentive.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
But like I said, I didn't make it. I was too busy last year. I didn't make it. The year before, it seemed like there was quite a few people there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, whether to do this or not is really up to the city council, because they're spending city funds. We're just making recommendations.
Right.
You got it.
Yeah.
They value your recommendation.
That's why we're here.
I wouldn't bring it before the city council until Shine on La Pine gets their word in.
Would you support contributing to a barbecue with that recommendation?
I would support it. Let's have a...
Where was it held?
Heritage Park.
Okay.
You know, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. I think it's either be Friday or Saturday. You probably want to do that barbecue not on Sunday.
Right.
Because I don't think you're going to get a very good turnout on the Sunday part of it.
Church.
If you did it Friday, you could do it, you know, midday or Saturday.
But a lot of people work on Friday.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday.
Don't look at me.
Okay, is there any further comment? Are we ready to move along?
It's up to you guys. I'll reach out to Shannon and we'll find this week.
Okay, great, thank you.
Ask them when their next meeting is on the topic.
It's either this Thursday or next week, one of the two. I'm trying to remember when Scott sent the email out.
Okay, well then, if we're satisfied, we've had enough discussion on that. Let's move on to the next item is the budget overview.
Yes, I'm just going to bring up some of the high level stuff that's new to the budget, specifically about public works that we haven't seen in the past, some new items. And you've heard about it if you've definitely been on the public works committee in the past.
Maybe
a little bit. One of the bigger projects that we're setting some funds aside for is the septic tank maintenance contract. That pilot program that I talked about, where we hire an outside contractor to do some pumping of the tanks inside city limits. And I've been structurizing it, the pilot program, based on, I think we want to do about 150,000 gallons to start off the project with, which in layman's terms, 150,000 would translate into 150 tanks, 1,000 gallon tanks. We got 1,000 gallon tanks, we got 2,000 gallon tanks, we got 3,000 gallon tanks, is what we typically see for residential. Now, 150,000 gallons buys us quite a few tanks to work with for that pilot program, which gives us a lot of data to put into our GIS system as well on when those tanks were maintenance, which helps sets up that maintenance contract. And it lets us see if it works well with a contractor coming in and doing it with us. 150 tanks isn't a lot, but it's a pretty good chunk for a summertime to do. It would be really hard for our crew to do that with what's going on lately with development and construction and stuff to do 150 tanks, for sure. So that would be a good stepping for that pilot program to see if we like it or not. And we set aside $30,000 for that.
How often as well? I think they wouldn't be pumping them every year.
No, they'd be pumping these whatever tanks I give them on a contract list.
Right.
They'd be pumping those tanks.
Yeah. The only ones that would require more than once a year to be industrial.
Business is commercial. Yeah. And this would strictly be a residential pilot program.
It would be residential.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Any questions on that?
No.
And you two being new understand exactly what they're talking about, right?
I do, but I have a question.
You bet.
Is there a plan on, so far, just an idea thrown out, whatever, as to whereabouts this would be, you know, be done? I mean, is it like certain neighborhoods?
I would pick a few different subdivisions that haven't had that service done in a while. It would be due for service.
Okay.
And traditionally, in the past, we didn't have the best way of tracking that maintenance program. This is one of the reasons why we want to start this. There wasn't really a good program that tracked the frequency of those tanks getting pumped, and that's pretty important with septic tanks.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
And then the contract I'm making up for a proposal, it shows 150,000 gallons that they want to, that's what they're going to bid on. They're going to bid on a per gallon basis. So I gave them some examples, like if you bid 8 cents a gallon, this is what you would charge for this contract and this is how much we would spend. Yeah. This is what 10 cents would look like per gallon. So we're gonna do it on a per gallon basis. Initially I thought about on a per tank basis, but we know there's several different tank sizes and a per gallon basis covers it all. And it lets me kind of play with larger tanks, smaller tanks, and kind of work in what we want.
You just gave a cost chart.
Again, an idea to work off of. And it wasn't too far fetched from what they should be getting close to. And I think there'd be some interest from some of the local providers.
Yeah.
When would this start, do you think?
I would see it starting in July or August. Mm-hmm. Yep, with the new budget. And they'd have till fall to complete it.
You gotta put this cost into the new budget, right?
Yes.
Is there a different timeline for the city's scheduled pumping versus someone on a standard septic?
It's very similar, based on how many people are in the household. So if you live outside the city limits and you have a standard septic tank like my house with a family of four, you're gonna typically see a 5 to 7 year scale, and we kind of mimic that. We kind of mimic more on the more frequent side of things.
Because I heard a rumor like every 3 years, which that seems
No.
To me, so.
Especially for a small residence, 3 years would be a little, would be overkill. But
at the same time, I just talking to you in the past, seems like you have a lot of problems with septic tanks and
in general, yes.
And a lot of problems with the septic tank and growing up always being on one.
Right.
Like, you know. So that's why I'm kinda getting at that question of the city. People don't register, oh, I'm on city sewer, I just put anything I want down. And that's why I didn't know. You charge extra for problems, or you, I guess you talked about that in
right.
the past, trying to decide.
Yeah.
To do what.
Okay. And a lot of these tanks, they're going to be more frequent because some of them are shared tanks. So you're going to see this contract get some of those shared residential. That's where we see a lot of more frequency and problems happening when there's a shared tank.
One of the problems with the septic that they had was with the older ones when they used steel tanks. They rotted away, and then all the that's in there started to go into the ground. That's when they had big problems. My neighbor had the same problem. They had to get rid of the damn steel ones and put the concrete in. And then you don't have that much problem as long as you maintain them and make sure they're working properly. I had one of the experimental systems put in my place, and the guy just came out 2 weeks ago. And everything's working great.
Good.
Yeah. It's just, I've not had a problem. I found out from the state that I'm my own sewer district. That's what the state says I am.
Yeah.
So, and I got a 4-stage system. It's been working great. I haven't had a problem with it. And I had it pumped after 10 years, and I went 2 years too long. But now he just checked, he's like, you got about another 4 years to go.
So, wow. You're a
well, there's only two in the house. You know, so that's about that. But the, like you said, the problem was the steel tanks. Mm-hmm. They rotted away, you know, just bad, really bad ones.
Well, and people contaminate those tanks too by right. putting the wrong stuff down.
Yep. The concrete ones are a hell of a lot better system.
Right.
Now, what you put after the concrete, sand filters and anything else, you gotta maintain everything. And that's where a lot of people are not doing, unfortunately. They just, oh, it works perfectly, but it don't do any clean, don't drink it, nothing.
In the next 3 years, when we go into Cato, we're going to have another 200 tanks minimum to add to our fleet of tanks, in addition to what construction is going on right now, residential.
So you'll have those all on your
system.
Yep.
System, and then you'll have some kind of a routine every 4 years, every 5 years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with people that are using the garbage disposals? And are they going to be charged extra if it's above and beyond the ever more than 4 or 5 years?
Just depend. I mean, you document how many times you're going there, and if you could build a case to where they're abusing the system, then you could definitely start charging for that.
Because those of us that will be on dual systems.
Right. Any new tank going in the ground. I don't approve a shared tank anymore. So any new construction, they're all single tanks. Commercial or residential, we set our standards now to where we don't allow shared tanks anymore.
Good.
Only time you're gonna see a shared tank is like in the Housing Works project when those are units, they come to different tanks, right? You can't put a tank for every apartment unit.
No.
But when it's practical, we make them put one tank in the ground.
But you have them at Paul and Crescent Creek too, right? Aren't those shared tanks?
There are shared tanks in there, yeah.
And what about Wheeler? Are they
shared tanks?
And then
Huntington Meadows shared tanks.
And then Peaceful Pines is shared tanks too.
Yep. all subdivisions that were set before our time, unfortunately.
Yeah. Are you going to have, if there's any steel tanks in there, Cagle subdivision?
They'll be gone.
They'll be gone.
Yep, we'll replace them.
Yeah.
Well, and all the new buildouts, though, in Polish.
That'll have all single tanks.
But the ones they're doing now.
Are going with existing infrastructure that was put in the ground, that was approved.
I hadn't thought about them.
Back then, where I would have made them put another tank in the ground.
So you're saying that when you start to do Cagle, if there is a steel tank, that the city will cover the cost of inserting, putting in a new concrete?
Yep.
Whoa, that's.
Dang. Like I said, they have to get rid of those things. It's really bad.
Are you happy with that, Kathy?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah. Yeah, I think it needs to be done.
Yeah, I'm sure it does need to be done. Because that's a pretty old residential area.
Yes, and there's a lot of rentals in there, which only adds to the,
right,
you know, yeah. It's a great neighborhood.
With absent owners, absentee owners.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went to a debate with the county commissioners, and the first thing one of them brought up was how bad the water and sewer was down here. South County.
I beg your pardon.
That's one of the guys who was running.
The misconception.
Yes, it is. I know. I couldn't say anything, but he brought it right up, and of course, he's about 5 years late.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
We still have that reputation going on out there.
Any other questions on septic tanks?
No.
I'm taking some people out tomorrow that's engineering the project. They had a lot of questions specifically with septic tanks up in the Cagle on what tanks we could use, couldn't use, what we would approve. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take them out and show them different situations on septic tanks, ones we like, ones we don't like that we'd have to convert or replace. So I'm taking out their head wheel tomorrow and said, you guys need to see in person what these tanks look like before you start surveying and engineering these projects up here. Yep, we got to be all on the same page. So I'm setting up a little tour tomorrow and showing them different tanks. Like, I'm going to take them to my house and show them a tank on my property that we could see up in Cagle. I'm going to show them a new ATT system to where we're going to come in, if we can, that tank as part of our infrastructure in their grain field, basically. So I'm going to show them different scenarios tomorrow.
If you need to see ours, let me know, because I'll have the gate open.
Okay.
Seriously.
All right. What's your address?
52724 Elm Drive.
52724. Okay.
Okay. Anything else from anyone on that particular item? Okay. Let's move on then to.
I got a couple more for projects.
Oh, yeah, a couple more for.
So we're doing another street project, something we haven't really done in the past. We're doing some chip sealing with the county. We're using their crew and hopping on their chip sealing program this summer. We're going to be extending Pebble Way from where they stopped and going all the way to Bassett. We're going to do Riley Drive on both sides of Pebble. We're going to do Betty Drive and Cork. While they are down in South County, we're going to use them for that. And we budgeted $32,000 for that, and that's a pretty high number.
You could save a lot of money on that if you wouldn't have all those trucks bringing trusses, doors, and windows down it.
Right.
Cement.
That's why I waited. That's why I waited on Betty as long as I could, because I knew it was getting built out. Now, fortunately, Betty Drive's pretty close to full build out, so hopefully we can avoid some of those heavy.
Now, why aren't you starting on Bassett?
We're not doing Bassett. We're going to continue Preble and stop.
But they're building it out, aren't they?
Right. We'll do it later. So we're not wasting.
When are they going to start building in there?
I haven't seen any plans for Bassett yet come across my desk.
Okay.
So we got that. Dust abatement, we're doing that with the county again. Doing some joint work where we're trading services, so we don't have to budget any money for dust abatement up there. We're going to do Cagle and schedule again. And we're started doing noxious weed spraying up there too. That was in the county last week. We sprayed every road in the subdivision with an 8-foot spray on each side. We did a pre-emerger, is what they call it. Doesn't kill the adults, just kills the new plants from coming back up. And then we'll come through in a month or two after we get a few good rains and do what they call a post-emerger up there as well.
Is it our staff that's doing that?
I rode with them, so no. You have to be certified with pesticides and chemicals.
Really,
and licenses if you have to, if you're going to be spraying it with a truck. So we're doing some joint work there too. What else do we got here? Another new project that you're going to see, we're looking at updating our meter reading infrastructure. Something hasn't been done in quite a while. And our system typically will take you 48 hours with two people to read in one day for the monthly reading. And that's the drive-by system. And what we use right now wasn't really typically designed for a drive-by system. It was more for a walk-by system. But, and we can take two guys basically a full day to catch all the reads. And I've been testing some new technology to where I caught 150 reads just sitting right here at City Hall.
Good.
So it's like, okay, let's look at this now. How long could I do the town? I can do the town in less than an hour. One person, basically, hooked up to a laptop, driving through town and picking up all the meter reads. We wouldn't have to update any of our infrastructure in the ground. We'd just be upgrading our infrastructure here at City Hall and the stuff we take out to read them. And that was about, we budgeted 10,000, but it's going to be less than that to update that.
Good.
Good.
Save money.
Yep. And time.
Yep.
And staff.
So we're going to talk about.
What? I missed that.
I said, if you just left me on my well, you wouldn't have to do anything.
I think we have a rubble here. Well, you get to keep your well. You just get don't good water on top of that.
Another program. Any questions on meter reading?
No.
No, good job.
We have a Neptune-based system. Most of our meters in the ground are Neptune, and we use the same technology for reading. And I reached out to them and said, hey, look, guys, if we don't upgrade the system, I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
That works.
We're going into a new area, too, where I'm going to put 300 new services in the ground, and I'll use a different technology up there as well, and a new meter. And I'll try it up there and switch the whole system to it.
Yeah.
I got their attention pretty quick.
Because
they haven't done a lot of customer service for us in the past. But the last operator didn't push the envelope either a whole lot. So I was pushing it pretty good. They were here pretty quick. We did a demo. We don't have to upgrade any of our stuff in our technology. We're going out and reading. And there's a lot of different stuff you can do these days, too. We could integrate down the road a system called a tower rent system, where you have towers in towns, specific spots. It'll grab all the reads for you and bring it back to City Hall without anybody going out.
Perfect.
I did that when I was at the city of Bend. Mm-hmm. That city of that size had 36 towers. City of our size, you probably could get away with two or three.
So is that something that's being considered for the
Yes, it is. Yep.
But
the system I'm putting in now, the technology, it wouldn't make it, if we upgraded to that, we still have the basis of what we would need. It wouldn't be wasting our dollars if we go ahead went this route. We could upgrade again and still use all the same stuff. But a tower rent system would be ideal at some point in time.
Would a tower go on city property or?
Yes.
The accuracy makes a big difference as well.
And it opens up capabilities of when you start doing a tower rent system, you can start reading people's meter on the hour, basically, and start analyzing data that way. Right now, we're just getting data when we ask for it. On a tower rent system, you're getting data all the time. The consumption rates, and when people have leaks on their system, all kinds of fun stuff.
Wow.
Based with that, you could develop an app where people can look at their water consumption on their smartphone, basically.
Yeah.
We can do for mid-state.
Right.
It's the same. I don't really want to quite go there yet.
Right, that's
baby
fine.
Steps.
Yeah.
But we could go there.
We're getting there, Kathy.
Oh, I know. I'm happy. That's good.
And we have no other questions on that. We talked about a utility billing program to help out with low income assistance. We budgeted dollars for that. For low income, the program will open to applicants with income less than 50% of the median income. 50%.
With the 25% reduction.
We'll give them a 25% reduction to their utility bill. Now, they will have to apply every year. If they need good standing with the city, they can't be delinquent during this program, and it's a pretty rigorous application. So it's not just a gimme if they come in and fill it out. They have to do it the right way to provide documents based on their income, who lives in the household, stuff of that nature. If you really want to get into the details, Ashley will have that, but we're basically mimicking Sisters in Redmond as well.
We discussed this at previous meetings.
Yeah, we talked about, do you want to do 60, to 50, and what was the reduction? 25%, 50% median household income, help out some of those low-income folks out there. And this kind of will be, I would call it a pilot year to see how it goes. We can change the numbers next year after we see how many people enroll into it. We're going to keep the enrollment open for a bit, too, and then next year we'll make a deadline. Like, you know, June 1st would be your deadline next year. We will keep it open. If you don't submit it by June 1st, you don't get into the program.
We'll probably do, I was thinking we'd probably do enrollment from July to December.
December, yeah.
And then that'll give us a lag, and then we can ask all those people to reapply in March and have the deadline be June 1st. And anyone else that wants to do it.
And also, on that note, we budgeted $1 for the delinquent account support. These are people that are in delinquency and have already had their water shut off. This program will be administered by our local St. Vincent de Paul and the city. We partner up with them. When a customer is on the shut-off list, they can qualify to have a portion of their utility bill paid for by the city. To qualify, a customer will come to City Hall and receive a voucher. This voucher will then be presented to St. Vincent de Paul, where they will determine if the customer qualifies for funding. It takes us out of the game of whether you get it or not. We're going to set aside a certain amount of money that they could use, and they would administer the funds on the city. We give them a voucher, and they'd go over there and get their funds.
Will that be based on the reasoning for being delinquent? I mean, not just because.
Not just because.
Yeah.
Well, and the voucher will only cover service fees, so if they got a hanger notice or penalties or a disconnect fee, we wouldn't cover that part, just the true utility fees.
Qualified,
and they can only qualify once a year.
Qualified, the billing must be delinquent, and the customer may not have applied in the 12 months prior to the program. The voucher will only be good for service fees. Other fees incurred by the customer, i.e. late fees, hanger fees, and if they actually get shut off, those fees would be on the customer. Those fees start stacking.
Adding up.
They'd be paying for their initial bill and stuff like that.
I think there should be some more flexibility in how you guys calculate your water bill, too. I know individual that got stuck with a high water bill, and I don't think it's representative of what they're actually using.
Right.
So,
a water bill or a sewer bill, Scott?
Both. Water and sewer bill, yeah. I guess.
Well, the water bill is based on actual usage.
Okay, but
the sewer bill is based on a winter average.
Right.
And we've had, so in situations like that, there's two situations. One, you really did have people in your house for the winter and use that much water, and that's how we have to calculate your winter average. And then another thing that happens in the winter is people get leaks. And if you come to us and say, hey, I had a leak in December and my water bill was super high, we can look at your water usage and say, yeah, you use 1,000 gallons, and then you use 10, and then you use 1,000. We'll compensate for that 10,000 gallons.
Take that 10,000 out of the equation.
Exactly. But if you really had someone in your house all winter, you're going to have to pay the winter average, unless you can prove to me that you didn't. So, I mean, I don't, what all I'm trying to get at is I don't think that we're inflexible with our water bills. I feel like we always will listen and try to make it right if we can, but if we can't substantiate why we're doing something, we can't do it.
And then there's a lot of different ways people calculate bills in the industry. There's a lot that are consumption-based, basically. A flat fee and consumption on top of that. Seems to be the trend for utilities are going that I've seen. And we definitely adopted that several years ago. When we reconstructed our
four years ago now.
Yep.
We moved from the EDU basis to the.
We had a group come in and do a study on.
And we spent a significant amount of money on it.
To make sure we got it right.
Well, one of the things too, if the customer has a high bill on one month, it's up to them to find out why.
Right, we'll help out any way we can, but we can only do so much.
Right, it's up to the customer to figure out why his bill is up so high, not just immediately come to the city.
And if they can prove that they had a problem and they got it fixed, well, we can reimburse and deduct that from their consumption.
But if the city doesn't know.
No, I think that.
It's up to the customer.
Yeah, this is new to me, but I think that, and in this case, it was clearly a high usage, and then it got carried through when the usage wasn't there. And on this individual, it was tough. It was, you know, and I don't know, I'm still learning on your water, but on electric and your water bill, you have that base price that, for sure, on electric, which is crazy, because I've had a house in the past where my electric bill was, you know, $27. You can't even do that here in Lapeer, because you got the base $29 fee. So they say, well, our power's cheaper per kilowatt, which it might be, but when you factor in your price, it's not anymore.
Right.
And I don't know how that converts to water, but it just, that's one thing about when you're moving, when a city moves in and take over stuff, the fees go up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys worked hard on some of the meetings and trying to keep that down, but it's pretty, I mean, you calculate about $100 a month for water, that's a lot of money.
One of the things too, the people that are on the city water, they also have a well. They should use the well to water the landscape,
right?
Not the city water.
Right.
That way your water bill will stay down too.
Yeah.
But the people that are watering your lawns and everything else, and they're the only city, the city water, their bills are going to be high.
Yeah.
Especially during the summertime when it gets really dry out here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know. I don't
they have to expect that.
Yeah. I don't even have a full bill yet because I just moved in. So, like I said, I'm still learning about. I'm paying, I don't know, $60
a month for water and
sewer.
So that's $30 a utility.
That's good.
That's really good.
And another thing is that keeping your well is totally unique to Lapeer. I've never heard of any other agency that says, yeah, we'll let you keep your well so you keep your water bill down.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But that'll go up for me, right? Because I'm not actually paying the sewer.
No, you don't have a winter average yet.
Yeah.
But you don't have a very high winter average, so it won't go up much.
But when the city took over from the other water and sewer,
District.
You studied other cities of similar size to determine what that.
They did.
Right.
That study encompassed, and you weren't here yet, probably, and Jim might know better, or Linda, I think a year and a half of our time.
Yep.
We went through every, or longer, we went through every possible scenario. Do you go this way? Do you go that way? How do you charge sewer? How do you charge water? Charts and tables, and that was a huge study.
One of the problems that they had when they first started with the water is that they had a fee, and it included so much water, so many gallons in that fee. Well, the problem was you had a lot of snowbirds. They were paying that year round, whether they were using the water or not. So my thinking was to have a base fee like Mid-State, where it's just like a maintenance fee.
And
then you get charged for whatever water you do use.
Right.
That way the snowflakes are gone, they're not using any water.
Snowflakes.
They're not using any water, they don't get charged. And that's a savings for the people. And the people who actually use the water get charged an appropriate amount.
Mm-hmm.
There are people subsidizing other people, and that's not right.
And really interesting thing.
Do your sewer during the winter months, what your sewer is?
For residential users.
Is figured on your winter water consumption.
Yes.
So that's really fair too.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that came from that study was 75% of our customer base was residential and 25% of it was commercial. And 75% of our rates were coming from commercial users and 25% were coming from residential, which saved the businesses a lot. And a lot of businesses will tell you it really saved their water bill. And the residents had to kind of absorb part of that. We didn't end up making it 50-50 or anything. I think it ended up being like 60-40 because we knew we couldn't put all that burden on the residents. But that was a huge thing that came out of that study is all of our rates were coming from commercial, and commercial was not even a significant portion of the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The new rate system was equal for everybody.
It was trying to make it as equitable for all users as possible.
Well, and plus we're trying to get some income for the $25 million in upgrades, and
new services that we'll be providing, right? Doesn't some of that go to pay off that?
Some of it.
How those grants come along? They come in, they get good?
We're gonna talk about it here in a little bit.
Okay, all right, good.
No other big projects, we're gonna just continue to do more proactive stuff. We're gonna, I set some money aside to replace some pumps at some lift stations that are on the end of their life. Like to replace them before they burn up.
Right.
So we don't get emergency. We don't get those phone calls at night and the system's down.
That's nice.
Doing some of that work.
Being proactive.
Being proactive.
You got it.
Other than that, there's nothing too crazy on the horizon that's new.
That's a lot, though.
Yeah, we start talking about the wastewater and water projects.
Yeah, there's a lot going on that people don't know about.
Right.
Especially some people running for office, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so are we ready to move on to the next agenda item?
No.
Okay, let's move on to water and wastewater project updates.
Okay. So they are started design on the project. They sent out a letter recently to the customers up in that area. If you live up there, you probably got a letter pretty recently asking to access your property for survey work. Nothing more than that. You haven't got nothing yet. They just sent them out.
We got one back yesterday, so you should get one anytime.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Basically, the letter.
If you don't get it, let me know.
Sure.
That would be very valuable.
Good. Just granting access on the property.
Sure. Well, that's like us. We have locked gates, so we need to know.
Just survey work. Not trying to acquire any easements at this time. Just to let you on the property and do some survey work where the tanks are and elevations and stuff like that. They've started the LiDAR imagery and survey work. LiDAR is aerial, so they've been flying planes over the line doing survey work that way.
Yeah, they've been locating a lot out there.
So. A lot of locate work, yep. That's kicked off.
Yeah.
We're spending money on that. We're using CDBG funds, that $1.2 million we got from Business Oregon. That's set out for wastewater design specifically. And we have a time frame associated with that to spend those funds. So our big focus right now is on wastewater design.
Yeah.
And that's been what they've been working on for the most part. Now, are they going to be up there surveying for water at the same time? Absolutely.
You might just do two at the
same time. We're going to fund that ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of our contribution to the project as well. You have to contribute a certain amount for these projects to gain more grants, basically, to gain more grant potential, which we did. You can remember we ended up securing about $9.6 million in grants for the project. And we're going to basically contribute $2.5 million. Over the long term of the projects, and then the rest will be closed. There is a tentative timeline that's set right now for the projects. I can tell you those real quick if you want. It's on our website. It's kind of hard to look at and decipher. We're going to have it available at the open house as well. But it's a timeline, and it's going to change. I know it's going to change, but it's basically we're setting out some certain times right now, and I can go through it real quick for you.
Did you give us a timeline?
I did.
Hard copy?
Yep.
Last meeting?
Yep. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Yep.
Until it changes.
It's always, everything's always changing, right?
New and improved.
Other than that, there hasn't been any major things happening on the project. They're just moving forward, rubber's hitting the ground, we're going.
Good.
And we've been doing a lot of work with the septic receiving station design work to get that kicked out.
Good.
But we won't see construction on that until 2019, probably, sometime towards that summer. When they start mobilizing the plant and start doing some of that work, then we'll start seeing some
of that. So then they won't be on orbital duty up there anymore, huh?
Be nice.
Good. I worry about those guys.
Mm-hmm. They start digging on a new well up there. Waiting on the outside.
No, they haven't. Yeah. We've been talking with Forest Service and BLM though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told us, but those wells go pretty deep, so you don't have to worry. Like right now, I know the water table is dropping. It being outside the city limits, I have to have a new well drill. But your wells are dug.
To give you an example, 2 weeks ago we tested the aquifer up there to see what it was capable of.
Uh-huh.
So we got two wells up there on site. They both feed that reservoir that feeds town via gravity. Both walls are at 252 and 254. You start hitting water at about 120 feet. When we start doing a drawdown test, we did each well individually to see how it affected the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Both wells are on the same aquifer, obviously. They're only 100 feet, 150 yards apart. When we did the drawdown, we did a 4-hour test on each pump. We let them rest 12 hours prior to that. We did well one, 4 hours. In the first 10 minutes, it dropped 2 feet. So it went from 123 to 125, and it held for 4 hours. And then we measure recovery rates to see how quick the aquifer reacts. It went back up in 5 minutes. Did the same thing to well two, exact same results. We did two wells at the same time, both pumping same time. Now these wells can pump 660 gallons a minute.
Wow.
So the two at a time is 1,300 gallons a minute. That's some water going somewhere. We did that for 2 hours straight. Same results, 2 feet, back up. So that aquifer is
pretty good.
So that's just the restriction around the soil that you're seeing, not the draining of the aquifer, basically.
Right.
The other thing, too, is the water is pure water. There's no chemicals in it.
It is fantastic.
It is
Cassie,
good water.
You're going to love it.
I figured the drawdown would be
it. It is so pristine, it makes me feel guilty to water my flowers. I wish I had a well.
Question, the new well, though.
Yes.
Where, now, I know you told us before, but I don't remember. The
location?
Is that off of a different aquifer?
Ideally, it wouldn't be. It'd be a different location on the same aquifer. We want to try to mimic the same. The aquifer is
except,
big up there.
Except if something were to happen to that system. The reason I'm saying another one is because if one happens to have something happen or go bad or something,
sure,
you're messing up everything instead of having a backup other system.
We want the redundancy. So our new, whatever route we go with the new reservoir and new well, it'll be separate. It'll have a separate transmission line.
Okay.
It'll be totally separate from the other system.
Right.
Now, it might be off the same aquifer, but that aquifer might start down here and go all the way up to Lava View.
Okay, got it.
But you want that infrastructure to be separate, which that's what our goal is still.
Good.
It's a backup system is what it basically amounts to, because of the accident we did have where it shut the water off for the whole town.
It'd be a backup system to itself. It could be,
right.
If this system went down, that would be the main system.
Right.
If that system went down, this would be the main system.
Good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. That's good.
So to be determined on the rest of that, we still don't know exactly where that site's going to be. We're working with Forest Service. They can be a fun agency to work with. And I'm being sarcastic.
Yes, they are.
Wait till you deal with the road.
And there's reasons why we were testing that aquifer so much, to see what it was capable of for backup options in case something doesn't go the way we want with Forest Service.
Yeah.
Now that used to be Forest Service, and then now it belongs
to the
city.
So we own that property.
So that's what you will do.
Ideally,
yeah.
But acquiring land from the Forest Service can be difficult.
How much do you think your pressure will increase
throughout the system?
Yeah.
I think it'll maintain around 60 psi would be a good average. A lot of that has to do with just the elevation of that reservoir.
Yeah.
We would mimic that. Where you're going to see all the pressure changes on the north end of town, because currently it's in the upper 40s, and you'd see it pull back up to that 60, basically the same. Anything over 60, you start looking at putting pressure-reducing valves in the system, because you start damaging people's fixtures and stuff, appliances.
People find out they got a lot of water leaks.
Right.
They do now, not necessarily before.
Yeah, but if you go from 40 to 60
no,
or
I
above
mean,
it, you're going
to have
even the nice Bend. Places you couldn't.
When I was in Bend, I had system pressure over 100 psi in slots. You had to have PRVs put in pressure reducing valves, or you blow up people's water heaters and stuff.
For people who are still on wells like me, since I'm outside the city, what is an average water pressure compared to what the city water gives?
Very similar.
If you have your own well with the bladder tank, they can adjust the
pressure. Pressure tank, you can go out there and it'll have a gauge on it if it's accessible. That's why that's there for, so you can maintain that pressure all the time.
Yeah.
So you're not running off of pump pressure all the time. When that pump kicks on, you have to fill in the faucet and it's like, whoosh. That's why you have that. That's why our reservoir walls are filling up a reservoir, so we're off of gravity off that reservoir, so it's a constant pressure all the time. We keep it a certain level and drop it, keep it going and drop it. Because if it gets below a certain point, you'll start seeing pressure in town go way down. But if we were just strictly off those wells for pressure, you'd see it spikes all the time.
What's the code based on? You looked at the residential code at all?
22 PSI, I think is the state code. You can't go below 22 PSI.
Yeah, but for, is it 55, the table, you know what the table says? Is it 55? I'll have to look at that again.
Yeah.
I know that I had problems in my place a little bit with the calculations because you guys were running about 52, so it was making a drop down the table, trying to push me to a bigger meter, basically. So maybe if you can bring that up to 60, I think that's better for...
Yeah, if you're running irrigation off our system, that definitely plays a factor too. We can get into hydraulics of water systems if we want. I like talking about it. But yeah, that's the update on the project. And then it'll bring us into our next topic of the open house, which we're going to have May 30th at the Senior Center at 5:30. With those letters that are going out, you're going to see that open house flyer too. So obviously, if you have questions, please feel free to come to that open house. Yeah, we'll have a short presentation, just an update on the projects, what we locked in for funding, what we see the rates continue to be at, and the timeline. We'll talk about that. Then we'll break off into groups. If you want to talk about specific survey work and where we think the water and sewer is going to be, we'll have a little booth for that. If you got planning questions based on your property, what you want to do and what you can't do, we'll have that booth set up. And we'll have another booth set up too for like billing and stuff like that.
And I guess I wasn't listening. Is that here?
Senior Center.
Senior Center.
Yeah, we wanted a little bit bigger venue because typically you will see 50 to 70 people show up. It gets pretty tight in here.
Yeah.
And it's hostile. You want more room.
Well, they weren't,
it won't be hostile.
Everybody was happy when you said no charge. Hey. It's been really nice since then.
I've been part of a lot of hookups throughout different systems, and this is the first time I've had it to where hookups for free. That's pretty nice.
It's just unheard of, yeah.
But in our community, it would have been hard to try to do that, inquire a hookup fee.
Well, they couldn't believe you. You know, everybody was there sitting, and when
they were
saying,
ready to...
no charge, and there was just dead silence, and then, now how much was that going to be? No charge. How much was that going to be? No charge, and they were... Oh, bless you. It was good.
But
that took the wind out of a lot of sales right. When they
Well, they even went up after and asked,
yeah,
how much was that going to be?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, thank you, Jake.
They didn't have the hearing aids turned on as well.
No.
Well, you know, that was going to be a lot of money for people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You could sell anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 for a hookup fee.
That's good.
And the rumors have been going around for years about.
When's it going to happen? How much is it going to cost?
Yeah, $15,000, $10,000 minimum, you know, and
right.
All this kind of stuff. And
when you get communities like close to us, like to the north, like Oregon Water Wonderland, did something similar. What was their average hookup? Like $8,000? Yeah.
So what?
For sewer. That was just for sewer.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with the people that you're requiring to hook up to city water and sewer that have existing homes that are not on that project? Are they,
people that are up there that are inside the project or outside
the project? No, outside the project that you're requiring to hook up.
I'm not requiring anybody outside my project to hook up.
Yeah. My couple neighbors, they got letters that they need to be hooked up to city water and sewer.
Oh,
so
down here, the mandatory connection. So
yeah.
Inside the city limits, we've talked about it before, there is a few customers that dodged a bullet back in the day to not hook up for water and sewer. Well, they hooked up to sewer and they're paying a sewer bill, but they didn't hook up to water. And the service was sitting there on the property. Well, the water districts kind of dodged a bullet and said, you pay a monthly minimum, we're not going to make you hook up. Well, we're coming in and saying, okay, now the time has come. You need to hook up to that service. That's why those were put there. And we're crediting you back whatever they put into it. We're not charging them an SDC fee to hook up to that water.
Well, you're not.
Nope.
Thought, okay.
Nope.
No, we waive the SDC fee.
So I just heard Scott make an interesting comment about SDCs. Mm-hmm. So because of this new project and all of the grants, and this would just
it's all related.
This would just affect new construction, new businesses, new...
SDCs were adopted to go up for the next 3 years, 2 years?
I'm looking right now. I think it was 2011.
We can only use a certain amount of those SDCs
for 2021
capacity in the system.
Right.
We can't use the whole fund for it. It's just, it's got stipulations.
Yeah, it's like the chamber had could only use a very so small
right.
portion of that for, yeah.
They'll go up until 2021. Sewer is going to go up approximately, sorry, it's crooked.
It's
not stable. Less than $1,000 in all, and then water needed to go up anyways. It was only $1,500, and this is for a small meter in a residence. It's going to go up about 50% or 100%, so it doubled over 4 years' time.
So an average
three years
right now is $7,105 for water and sewer. It used to be.
That's what it used to
before
be, and now it's
it.
22 for water and gotta do the cricket head again. And 6,000 for sewer, so it's about 82 right now.
Oh, I've been quoting 10.
That's what it's gonna go up to eventually.
Well, good, then I won't be mad.
You're ahead of your time.
Well, I'd rather do that than tell them what was gonna be.
By the time we're in
yeah.
Kegel and put pipe in the ground, it'll probably
I just send them down here. What
go for it. I'll talk SDCs all day long.
Can you prepay any of those?
No.
Can you prepay any of those?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Oh, that
no.
would be a good idea. Oh, Ashley. Just let them give you the cash now.
No.
Because
no, I mean, if you have something that water and sewer can go to, you can prepay an SDC if you have a frost-free hydrant and a toilet sitting in your yard. So you can flush the toilet and use the frost-free to fill it. But unless you have infrastructure to hook it to, we're not going to just
well,
let you
true.
Prepay them.
Right. Because those costs might be something right now, but 3 years or 4 years right now when you actually develop that property, the cost probably could be different for us.
But what if you already have an existing septic tank? In the ground.
You're not using it?
Right.
On a bare lot?
Right.
No. If the septic tank's there, it may already have SDC paid on it.
No.
Because someone demolished a lot or a building or something on it.
It doesn't.
If there's no infrastructure to hook it to, we're not going to let you pay the SDCs
yeah,
on it.
You might want to sit down and discuss that with somebody at another opportunity.
Sorry.
So.
Okay.
Ask Jake, my favorite word is nope.
What else do we got?
We have just other issues and concerns. Oh. I think we covered
everything.
A
lot.
And Tom showed up just in time.
I know. Good job. We had to
what
decide without you.
There is an open house today for the ODOT project.
Are you
going to
all be there?
I'm going to try to be there for a little bit. I'm coaching softball this evening, so that makes it
fun. Well, that's important. Are they going to do the presentation first and then?
I would think so, yes.
So we
they're
need
smart.
To be there at 4 so we don't walk in late.
Yeah,
okay.
Senior.
And, you know, I have a pretty good idea of what the project contains and how it's going to look. But I might show my face.
But ODOT's running it?
Yes.
We're just kind of concerned about traffic flow.
Yeah, bring it up.
It's 4.
Opens doors open at 4?
The senior center.
4 to 5:30?
4 to 6 or
4
to 8?
4 to 6, I think.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
If people, you talked to that earlier, this whole area is a rumor mill. And most of the 99% of the rumors is messed up and screwed up. And people should go to these things and really get the facts.
Straight.
Straight, yeah. It just, it's amazing.
Just like our open houses too, you know, we're gonna tell you all the facts and the details, and you're getting it from the horse's mouth, right?
Right.
You get people that call into the city though when they hear one of these rumors, and then you have the opportunity to correct.
How much am I paying to hook up to this?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want that city water. I don't want. It's like, well, it's no chlorine. It's no chlorine. Okay, maybe I can get on board with that.
There's no nothing in the water. There's no chemicals in the water. It's pure water.
Except for a minute amount of natural fluoride.
Natural fluoride?
Natural.
Trace?
Isn't that what your report says?
There's a minute amount of natural fluoride in it and something else. I can't remember what it's called.
I'm trying to think.
And it's in every water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's nothing else in it.
But it's really pure.
Hydrogen. Oxygen.
Yeah. Hydrogen. Oxygen. 2 to 1. Two to one. I can't
think of where it is.
I'll find it.
There's other trace amounts of
natural stuff. It's all not, we don't put it in.
No.
CCR.
There is a consumer confidence report on our website.
There's a consumer confidence report on my computer right now.
So the water wastewater open house is the 30th at what time?
It's at 5:30.
Lead, copper.
City Hall.
And a little teeny tiny bit of nitrate.
Nitrate, yeah. Which is all normal in the ground anyway.
Mm-hmm. So. Just run off from the dirt.
Copper's good, isn't it?
And copper, lead and copper were actually tested in household plumbing, and they didn't have any. We should call the lab and make sure we don't need to do those this year.
They usually let us know because they make money off of it.
I think they only make us do them every 3 years now. And the lead and copper is tested in old buildings, so I have like a dozen people that I can test in that, and we test like the Johnson C. Johnson building because it's such an old building. We test Rex LeSueur's Bancorp Insurance building because it's been here a long time. Kitty Shields always offers up her place. So it's just older buildings, and it's because they have lead and copper plumbing, and they want to see how much is carrying through our water into their sinks.
We get a lot of sampling on our system. Some of this state mandatory requirements we have to adhere to. And all our testing, for the most part, is third party. That way it's not us doing it, and if there's ever a question with a result on the sample, they don't come back and say, hey, did you taint the results on the sample? No, we didn't. This was a third party tester that did it. They're very good at what they do.
Good.
Okay, so if all of the public doesn't have any comments, then we can perhaps go on to staff comments.
I don't have much. It's been busy lately with the
budget.
You know, Housing Works is going in, and St. Charles is going to open the doors here soon.
Yep.
Development, budget.
Lots of development.
What about on Caldwell Drive going into the Polish subdivision? Just thinning that, or are they going to build in there?
They're thinning it, and then they're extending sewer up that way. That's where they're taking the sewer from Housing Works. So part of the project is to lay sewer infrastructure that ties into Caldwell.
Okay.
Ultimately goes to that lift station out to the north.
This in the middle of the Newberry neighborhood.
Call it Newberry lift station.
That's called Vic's property there, though, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not involved in either development. So.
No.
No, it's his own.
The right of way, the sewer goes up the right of way. There's a right of way through there. Caldwell would Crescent Drive would extend all the way down to Housing Works eventually after this project's over. You'll see a road that cuts through there. It goes north and south.
That would go south to the Housing Works?
Yep.
So they'll come down.
It won't be like a improved road, but they'll clear the right of way for that sewer lane that goes up. Eventually, it could be a road. That's how it's on the maps and the plat.
Wow.
Dan Paulus is looking at putting a new subdivision up there that mimics what they just did.
Have you seen plans yet on that?
I've seen some initial plans.
It's going to go in by the clubhouse.
It showed the whole subdivision, basically. And I added things like, no, these tanks have to be all separate, you know. And this is what we want to see for water, this is what we want to see. So it's what was different from before. We went in and changed.
Is most of the building going to be ahead of what you projected? Because
population growth? I would say yes.
Because people cannot afford land anymore.
And we've been talking with our engineers about that too, and our funders. Like, hey, look, we projected 2.5% growth over the next, but we're seeing significant more than that. So maybe we can increase the capacity of this reservoir by a few hundred thousand. Stuff like that we're looking at right now. Well, we have an opportunity because you don't get very many opportunities to build a reservoir and expand a treatment plant. So maybe it makes us spend a little bit more dollars, but if we can get a bigger product, it would be well worth it. Because I'm submitting, like, this is what we had last year for commercial. This is what we had last year for residential. That's 20% population growth, you know. Things are happening in South County.
Well, and we're not even affordable down here anymore.
No.
And it's going up. They're selling those bare lots where the house is built. I mean, before they even have starts on them, so.
Who dealt with the transportation plan?
Who dealt with the transportation plan originally?
Yeah.
Who did the TSP?
Probably is it like Public Works or who is?
Not Public Works. It's the whole city.
The TSP was done by Kittleson Associates, and that mostly vetted through the Public Works Committee and Steve Hassan. I think Steve was here when we adopted the TSP got adopted pretty much when I started here.
And we're going through that again.
We're going to go through it again. Yeah, it's about time too.
Who's going to go through that?
It'll probably go out for RFP.
Because that adds a big cost to building too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's subdivision we're working on I'm helping with right now is it's crazy from one to the next, the amount of property that's been taken.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what this Public Works will be involved with? Or
we'll be involved in it, you bet.
I'm sure of it.
And the Planning Commission will be involved in it?
It'll probably start here and then move up to the Planning Commission. And then move up to the city council.
Okay, it looks like we have moved from staff comments kind of down to committee member comments. So should we just go down the line? Tom, did you have anything? Yeah, I mean, you weren't here for most of it, but you're knowledgeable about what's going on.
Did you discuss at all 4th Street at all, or what's
happening? I didn't. We can update them on that if we want. I'm going to do it at council tomorrow night, too.
So utilities are going to end up going underground there, I believe.
The overhead power is currently on 4th Street. We're looking at putting it underground. We're doing a joint project with City, ODOT, Mid-State, and funds contributed from all three parties.
Are you talking by Napa Auto Parts?
Yeah, just across. That empty lot's going to become a ODOT transit. So.
And that's starting?
Pretty soon.
Right from us.
And we're, piggybacking on the ODOT project, basically. Because they're going to do some boring across the highway, and we saw that as a good opportunity to get some power underground.
Yeah.
Not many chances to bore across Highway 97.
Mm-hmm. And then instead of having a new road in there and digging it up, do it all before.
But having that power underground on that property, the community saw it as a pretty good asset to keep that a good open canvas and get that stuff underground.
Right.
Wow.
And how much
that is
going to
be a
that?
Mess this summer.
140-ish, 160.
Oh, it's about 175.
175.
So it's considerable. I mean,
the city is anticipating 75 contribution to it.
Well, the traffic through here is already bad.
Right.
I mean, you can't get on it even to go north. So this will be an interesting summer. They'll probably go over that tonight.
this thing is happening.
Well, I know, I was just wondering, how are we going to be like this summer?
Well, we can't get across it, that's it. Those of us that are on the east side are staying there, so it's a good thing we're off the grocery store.
Let's talk about vacation for a few months.
You got to.
Yes, we'll just get us down the city.
You got to go around to McDonald's and cross the stoplight.
Yes. I know, I finally figured that out. So many good ideas. Well, at least I don't go across all of them to try and go south.
That was all I had.
Okay.
You have to, see, he's nice to elderly. You are not.
I'll be talking on that tomorrow night for sure. The numbers. Originally, we were going to contribute quite a bit more, but the number kept kind of dropping. So
as the scope of the project
dropped, just yeah.
But you'll be boring under 97, right?
Yeah, that's
not
correct.
You're not really going to tie up the road that much. It's simply going under.
Right.
Yeah. But it's better to do it before they pave it.
Oh, no, I get you. Yeah.
No, absolutely. We've got all the development going on the west side all summer.
Right.
Yeah, I get you.
So are you going to go to that meeting tonight, open house?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Absolutely.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything either.
No.
Kathy?
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Very informative meeting. Have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second. I second.
Motion made and seconded. Meeting adjourned.
Okay. If you guys have any questions, you think of something afterwards, feel free to email me or call me.